This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good morning. I'm Wong Xiaoning with Lin Mark, and this is The Morning Run. It has just gone past 7:06 in the morning, and in about 15 minutes, we'll be discussing why Malaysia seems to be lagging behind regional peers when it comes to foreign direct investment. But for now, we're looking at how global markets have closed. And Lin, tell us what's happening from a remote, undisclosed location.
Well, markets look pretty mixed. In the US, the Dow was up 1.4%. The S&P 500 was up 0.6%, while the NASDAQ was down 0.6%. And it was a similar mixed situation here in Asia. The Nikkei was down 0.4%, while the Hang Seng was up 0.2%. Shanghai also up 0.6%. The STI up 0.1%. And the FBMK LCI here at home down 1%.
So joining us on the line for his take on where markets are headed is Tony Nash, CEO of Complete Intelligence. Good morning, Tony, and a happy new year to you.
Morning. Happy new year.
Yes. You know, equity and currency markets were waiting for the Georgia election results, which have just come out. So given that outcome where the Democrats have won, where do you see U.S. equities heading, actually?
U.S. equities, we don't really see a strong, we don't see major upside for U.S. equities without significant short-term intervention by the Fed or by some stimulus package or, say, an infrastructure package. Given where Congress is, I'm not sure that there would be the ability to get much through Congress, so it would have to come from the Fed. It's possible, but we see more the hard assets like, say, gold and commodities, and then you see cryptocurrencies rising pretty fast as well. But equities, we're just, you know, the risk really with equities is to the downside more than to the upside.
But if we just look at last night's flows, right, there was some rotation into cyclicals like banks and small caps with less fund flow into big tech, perhaps over concerns of increased litigation action against them. Do you think this will change into a more long-term kind of rotation?
Yeah, we've expected that for some time. That rotation is long overdue. But as the, say, the Fed and other, say, activities have enabled tech and crypto to kind of have a longer run, that rotation has been put off a bit. So if now is the time, great. It's like I said, it's overdue. So we would definitely welcome it. It's, you know, we're just overexposed in certain sectors.
And meanwhile, last night, U.S. 10-year Treasuries top 2%. I mean, what is that telling us, actually?
The U.S. is having a harder time raising money. You know, they need to pay a little bit more to get money. You know, it's just, yes, it's, I don't necessarily think it's a harbinger of inflation, although it's possible with a weaker dollar, with, say, higher import prices for, say, you know, you have Chinese yuan on a run strengthening. So, you know, you may have higher import prices, but people have been warning about inflation for years now, and we just have not seen it register. So, you know, I think it just means that the U.S. Treasury has to pay more to raise money.
And with Biden coming in on January 20th as the next U.S. president, are we likely to see a reversal of Trump's more adversarial policies with China?
Oh, Biden will be very accommodating to China. So a reversal, yeah. I think you'll see different parts of, say, the House and the Senate not be happy about it, but he'll be absolutely extremely accommodating, more accommodating than Obama was.
And what impact do you think that might have on the U.S. economy? Because in the past, there was some shift into, let's say, more U.S.-based manufacturing. Will that then reverse?
Well, I think with the USMCA, the NAFTA number 2 agreement, I think there's more incentive for companies to have facilities in the NAFTA zone. China obviously is more expensive, and with an appreciating CNY, you know, that makes it more difficult to invest. Well, you get less for your money in China. So I think China is becoming an increasingly hard sell. That has been the case since probably 2017-18. And I think it's not going to turn back. So until there is a reciprocal investment agreement in place with China, then I think, and enforceable, sorry, that's a key one. But until that's in place, I think China is kind of where it is. I don't think you would see a mad rush of direct investment going to China.
And somewhat related to that is the greenback, right? What are your views in terms of where the US dollar is heading? Because you just mentioned that the yuan is likely to appreciate.
Yeah, well, it already has. And so I think the Chinese officials are becoming a little bit nervous about how strong CNY has become, because it'll put a real damper on their ability to export. You have the euro versus CNY weakening. You have the dollar versus CNY weakening. So I think it's coming to a point where it could be somewhat problematic for China. So they will push to weaken their currency, maybe not immediately, but say in first quarter. As you see more stability, say post-Brexit with kind of the new normal Europe, as you see more stability in the US with the new administration, I think you'll see a bit of, say, relative strengthening of those two currencies versus, say, CNY.
And shifting our attention to one of the commodities, oil. Now, we know yesterday Saudi Arabia is cutting oil output while Russia is increasing theirs. Now, what's the rationale for this? And are OPEC members then divided on production quotas?
OPEC members may verbally agree to things. Whether or not they comply with that has been a burden for OPEC for decades. So what they all want, of course, is more volume export, and the price is the real issue. So I think there's an intention to present mixed messages, so that there's uncertainty in the market, so that we see, let's say, a Brent price that's sustainably above $50, something like that. I think that is good for OPEC, of course. I think that's good for some of the producers like Malaysia and Texas, where I live. I think consumers, we don't necessarily expect to see a sustainably strong oil price, because we don't necessarily expect to see a dramatic recovery in 2021. We will see a recovery, but we don't expect to see a dramatic recovery that would spike oil prices up, say, to $70 or $80.
So, Tony, do you expect oil prices to be where it is, which is currently around $50 per barrel for WTI?
So for 6+ months, we've expected a spike in January, and we've been telling people since July, August, that we would see a spike in oil prices in January. And this is exactly what our artificial intelligence platform has told us for quite a long time. So we're seeing what we've expected. We've also expected a fall going into February. So like I said, this is great. This is very much in line with what we thought would happen. But we expect there to be some downside to this and downward pressure within the next, say, 30 to 60 days.
All right. Thank you for your time. That was Tony Nash, CEO of Complete Intelligence, giving us his views on where markets are heading. And it seems like it's not surprising that there's a bit of a market correction, or at least a market rotational flow out of tech, which valuations have kind of hit all-time high, and some rotation into the cyclicals like banks and small caps. But I think his views on oil are pretty interesting, that we're going to see maybe a bit of downside from here. What were your key takeaways, Lynn?
I think his comments about particularly what we can expect out of a Biden administration were quite interesting, because commentators now are kind of split over how they believe Joe Biden will kind of stack up compared to Barack Obama once he is inaugurated as president of the US. And the idea of Joe Biden being more accommodating than Obama, particularly with Trump also still continuing his crackdowns on China, it's almost enough to give you whiplash, isn't it? Because once January 20th rolls around, how much of Trump's measures will be rolled back? I mean, only recently he's just signed an executive order as well, banning several Chinese payment apps over security concerns. So this affects 8 payment apps, and it's supposed to take effect in 45 days after Trump has left office.
Yeah, and what's interesting is these 8 payment apps are very well known. So it includes the likes of Alipay, Tencent QQ, and even WeChat Pay. Now, in the executive order, Trump said that these apps captures swaths of information, including sensitive, personally identifiable information and private information. Now, how much of this an impact will have is unclear, since it's understood that the usage of these apps outside of China remains limited. For example, Alipay has roughly 1 billion users, but they're mostly in China. However, it does have deals with merchants in the US such as Walgreens and claims to work with more than 250 overseas partners. Now, separately, the New York Stock Exchange has made another U-turn on its earlier U-turn to delist three Chinese telecom companies.
Basically going round and round and round in circles.
Yeah, it's like a mini roundabout now. Okay, so and these three companies are China Mobile, China Telecom and China Unicom.
So the NYSE first announced that it would delist the companies on New Year's Eve before changing course 4 days later. And the delisting complies with Trump's executive order banning investment in Chinese companies with purported ties to the military. So the exchange said its latest decision is based on new specific guidance received on Tuesday, provided by the Treasury Department. Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin reportedly called the NYSE president, Stacey Cunningham, to voice his displeasure with the decision to allow these three companies to remain on the big board.
Well, I think this story will just get, the plot will get thicker and thicker, and whether the roundabout will get bigger and bigger, we'll just have to find out. But up next, we ask the question, what can Malaysia do to attract more foreign direct investment? Firdaus Rosli, senior economist with Mark, will be joining us for that discussion. Stay tuned for that. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.